So we're talking about the mitzvah of shofar, and the Rishonim, as we know, initially get into the issue of the nature of the mitzvah of shofar from the very basic question of what is the nusach of the bracha. And here we have the discussion both of the Rosh, and then we mention later of the Rambam. The Rosh quotes a number of opinions. The Rosh quotes Rabbeinu Tam, who says that the bracha is what? Right? The Rosh says that, the Rabbeinu Tam says that it is tekiya shofar, al tekiya shofar, because that is the gemar mitzvah. However, the Rosh himself quotes other opinions, like the Rav Yah, who hold that the mitzvah is lishmoa, that the bracha is lishmoa. And the Rosh, very importantly, tells us explicitly what the lumdus is. You know, sometimes we have to read into the Rishonim. We'll do plenty of that throughout this year. But in this case, we don't need to read into the Rishonim. You don't need to be a Rosh Hashiva, a razzle-dazzle rabbi to figure out what's going on. The Rosh himself tells you the Lashon, right? In the second line of the Rosh, who wants to read? Hod Mevarchim. This is easy. I'm not making you read a hard Gemara. Yes, please, Galia. Hod Mevarchim, Nishmo, Kol Shofar, Velo Mevarchim, Nishmo, Stop. Good. So the Rosh tells us the lumdus right away. You don't have to guess. This is not tricky. And it makes sense, right? It makes sense. The nusach of the bracha reflects the nature of the mitzvah. If the mitzvah is to sound, to blow the shofar, then the bracha is going to say so. If the bracha is to hear the shofar, then the bracha is going to say so. Now the Rambam paskins that the nusach of the bracha is Sheikh Shem Sof Zivanu Lishmoa Kol Shofar. Sounds like the Rambam of this must hold that it's Shmia. And sure enough, that is consistent throughout the Rambam. I didn't even give you the Sefer HaMitzvos, but the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos says this. If you look at source number 3, anyone know what the Koteres is? You've heard of that phrase before? In other yeshivas, they sometimes refer to it as the Ramazim. But I'm not sure if it came from the Rav or Rav Lichtenstein, but like certainly in YU, everyone refers to it, and that's where I got the term from, the Koteres. The Rambam in his Mishneh Torah, right, there's 14 books, Yad HaChazakah, and within each of the 14 books, like Zmanim is about the holidays and Shabbos, then there's different things, Hilchos Shabbos, Hilchos Rosh Hashanah, Hilchos Chametz Matzah. So before each Halacha X or Y, where the Rambam is going to have X number of chapters discussing in detail the mitzvah, the Rambam has like a coda, they'd say in English, or Ramazim, or what I call the Koteres, like the crown, the thing that's going above it, where the Rambam tells us very succinctly, in the next 10 chapters on Hilchos Shemitah, I'm discussing the following 2, 3, whatever number of mitzvos, and here they are. So it's yet another place where the Rambam gives us a clue into his shita about things. It's something to be aware of. Rav Soloveitchik in particular had a lot of great lumdus over the years in various different sugyas based on what the Rambam said in that little thing called the Koteres. So sure enough, what does the Rambam say in the Koteres to Hilchos Shofar? Again, Lishmoa Kol Shofar. Not Litkoa. And again, if you saw, some of you who saw the supplemental Makaros, I gave you some Makaros relating to the, what's the other time Midaraisa we blow the shofar? Yovel. On Yom Kippur of Yovel, the land goes back, the slaves go free. And therefore, the Ram consistently about Yovel uses what verb? Litkoa. He says Litkoa. So again, it's not a, you might have thought when you're reading shofar, you know, it's just, maybe it's not, it's imprecise, it's careless, but when you match up the two Rambams, it's very, very clear that the Rambam holds, like we saw, that it's the mitzvah of hearing, and therefore it's not a surprise that he holds that the nusach of the bracha is lishmoa. Now, there's one other place which the earlier Rishonim, and maybe even the early Achronim, I don't think we're aware of, and that is the tshuva of the Rambam. Rambam has tshuvos, but they're not as well known. They weren't as central to his literary intellectual output as they were to other people. Certain other Rishonim and certainly Achronim, some of them, their main contribution is their tshuvos. I don't think anyone would say that about the Rambam. But he does have tshuvos, which are studied and are important. And one of them is this tshuva. And he asks in source number 5, why do we say Lishmo Kol Shofar? And other people would say Al Tekiya. Like, what's the difference? Like, Rabbi, come on, what's the big deal? Come on, Rabbi, what's the big deal? So here he tells us, you know, very beautifully, Hatshuva Hehevdel B'nehem Gadol Miyod. Actually, it is kind of a big deal, says the Rambam, right? And he explains exactly what we've been saying explicitly, again, just like the Rosh, that the nusach of the bracha reflects the nature of the mitzvah. And therefore, he's confident that the mitzvah is lishmoa, the shofar, and that reflects that. He gives a very dramatic proof, but we'll hold off on that for a moment. Okay? That's our basic question, our basic hakira, what's the mitzvah? Right away, the first nafkamina is, what's the Nusach HaBracha. The second most famous nafkamina is the uncomfortable, difficult question of, what if a guy wants to be Yotze with a stolen shofar? So again, we should all realize that when the Rishonim are discussing this, they're not discussing morally or ethically whether this is a good thing. Clearly the guy is a bad dude. You shouldn't be doing this. But, what if a person did? What if a person was blowing or hearing, as the case may be, a stolen shofar? Are they Yotze? And this is, as you all know now, a machlokas rishonim. Who says what? Come on, gentlemen, wake up. Don't let slichos get you down. Who's others? Give me some names, man. Hagos Ashri, and others. But on the sheet, yes. So the Rambam says in Hilchos Gzela, Hilchos Shofar, excuse me, Perek Aleph Halacha Gimel, Shofar Hagozel Shetakuba Yotza. You're Yotze. Hagos Ashri, Shofar Hagozel, Pasul. And there's other Rishonim on both sides of that equation, as we'll see in a moment. The Rambam here tells us something very fascinating. Who wants to read the continuation of the Rambam? Loud. The reason I put Yotze in parentheses is because at least if you look in the Frankel Rambam, no, in the Frankel Rambam they have it in parentheses. Meaning it's unclear what the right girsa is. The implication is Yotze. The question is just whether the Rambam said it explicitly or not, but the meaning is still the same either way. So what do you say, Mr. Silver Spring? What is the Rambam saying? He says a lot of things, like a lot of extra, seemingly unnecessary stuff. What's he trying to get at?
Even though it's a stolen chauffeur, since you can't steal a sound, the call is going to be good, and since the mitzvah is calling on the Shmina.
So that was excellent, except for the fact that you skipped the whole middle of what you read.
Yeah.
So we're allowed to hire the music.
Who said?
That's what I was saying.
Huh?
You can hire music.
The angel calls you all sound.
Yes, so that's all true, and that's important. But what about the middle? Why'd you skip the middle? Afo pishlo nagabo v'lo higbihu hashomea. So I think on a poshut level, the Rambam is giving almost an implied proof to his position. He's connecting his opinion of Gezel to his position about shofar. You were right about that, for sure. But he added a separate point that he's using as a little bit of a proof. After all, says the Rambam, I'm reconstructing now. You tell me if you like my efforts. After all, the Rambam's saying, if the mitzvah would be to blow the shofar, then how could it be that most people are not blowing the shofar? Most people don't even touch the shofar. We go anywhere near the shofar. So how could we be Yotze? Right? A person can't shake a lulav for me. And therefore, the Rambam is saying, from the very fact that uvda, as we say in Hebrew, right? The fact is, most people seem to go through Rosh Hashanah every year, at least thinking that they're fulfilling the mitzvah, right? And they never even touch or pick up the shofar. That is yet again a proof that the mitzvah must not be the tekiah, but the shmiya. Now that's all, if that's true. Hold on one second. Step one. That doesn't alone help the Rambam, because you'll say, okay, good, the mitzvah was to hear, but I heard from a stolen shofar. What's the problem? Why isn't that? Trip me up. So then the Rambam adds the last phrase. You still get out of it. Why? Again, you don't get out of your problem of stealing or the ethics of trying to do a mitzvah. But technically, are you Yotze? Says the Rambam, yes, because Ein Bekol Din Gezel. In order for something to be stolen, there has to be a tangible item which was in my rishus, and now is no longer in my rishus. Sound is intangible. It's meaningful and real in a sense, but it's no more or less in my rishus when it's quote-unquote stolen or not. Ein b'kol din gezel. You can't steal something that you can't touch or see. Ein b'kol din gezel.
Isn't the better word possessible? Because sound is tangible.
Huh? Okay, fair enough. Possessible. Good. Yes?
Why shouldn't the sound be totally on the shofar itself?
It is the product of the shofar. But it's, this is where the Rambam is clearly linking his shita about Gezel into his shita about shofar. But the mitzvah is not connected to the shofar. The mitzvah is the sound. And the sound cannot be stolen. Now that's not enough by itself. That's not enough by itself. Because as you saw in the Makaros, L'cha'ora, you need one more piece. Because as I said to some of you guys in Seder yesterday, is important kind of a tool for your lamdasha toolbox. Whenever you have, sometimes you're just studying a klal, or you're studying a specific mitzvah. But whenever you have a question like this, we actually have the intersection of a klal and a specific mitzvah. Namely, we have the intersection of what's the mitzvah of shofar, and that intersects with how do we understand mitzvah habayir. Let me take a step back. Why do you think the Hagos Ashri says you're not Yotzei? I didn't forget about you, okay? Why do you think that the Hagos Ashri says you're not Yotzei? So the simple, intuitive reason is mitzvah b'avera. So why not Yotzei? Mitzvah b'avera. The Rambam presumably gave all those words, the ones you translated, the ones you didn't, all of that combined to do what? To bavorn, as they say in Yiddish, to preempt that challenge. The Rambam knows that you're about to pounce on him and say, "Ah, mitzvah b'avera." So the Rambam is telling you before you even ask your question, it's not going to be a problem. Ein b'kol din gezel. But what do you mean? Gedalia wants to know, but it's the product of a stolen shofar. So here, I think you need to add one other piece, and that is, how do you understand mitzvah b'avera? This is what I mean by say we have an intersection. The question of are you yotzei with a stolen shofar is a question that emerges out of the intersection of at the point where two different axes meet. You have the question of how to understand shofar, but you also have the question of how to understand the rule of mitzvah habavera. Some of you have learned this in the past, if you learn Mesach Sukkah or other things. Mitzvah habavera, how do you understand that? There's a klal in halacha that if you do a mitzvah habavera, you're not yotzei. Again, we don't just mean like ethically it's gross and why would you, you know, we don't mean halachically. You can't just say, I'll take my mitzvah and I'll take my punishment. You don't get the mitzvah even. Crime does not pay in this case. So why, how do you understand that? Why should that be? Why don't you say, I shook the lulav, give me points for that, and give me demerits for the stealing? Why not? Why do you say that it's not even a mitzvah? I did the mitzvah. So there's different understandings of that concept. But one of the understandings, which is really very fundamental, is the approach of Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, which I have for you quoted in source number 8. The Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, anyone familiar with that Sefer? Eretz HaTzvi is a Sefer written by Reb Herschel Schechter, who's Herschel is Yiddish for Tzvi. If you know anyone with Herschel, they're not called up to the Torah Yamod Herschel, at least not typically. Yes, Herschel Schechter, yes, from YU. So he has a number of Sfarim of his own lomdus, or his own essays, and his first volume was Eretz HaTzvi. Tzvi is a pick of his name. He also starts his Sfarim, the first word, with the Aleph Beis. So his first Sefer was Eretz HaTzvi. His second Sefer was Ikve Atzon, Beis. His third Sefer was Ginos Egos, Gimel. We're waiting for Dalid. This is one of his things. He likes to do these kind of things. Very, very clever. Anyway, so in Eretz HaTzvi Simon Gimel, he quotes that he heard from his Rebbe, Rav Soloveitchik, who said over in the name of his grandfather, none other than the great Reb Chaim Halevi, Reb Chaim Brisker, how do you understand the concept of mitzvah b'avera? You might have thought that I personally think this is the more commonsensical, intuitive way, is, come on, what kind of person does that? You couldn't do a mitzvah unless you stole? So if your stealing is enabling your mitzvah, you can't do that. Right? It's like the focus is on the person, on the gavra. I think it makes a lot of sense. But that's not what Reb Chaim said. Chaim said it's not, I mean, that's all true, but that's not the reason you're not Yotzei. If that alone, maybe you could be Yotzei. Rather, what Reb Chaim said was that certain averos are not just something that the person did wrong, but they give a sigma to the object itself. There's a psul in the chefetz. The object itself carries a stigma, like a scarlet letter. This is a chefetz hagazul. This is a stolen object. That is a status in and of itself, apart from your own weak moral standing as the robber. It is stolen property. And stolen property cannot be used for a dvar mitzvah. A chefetz of avera, a chefetz ha-gazul, cannot then be used as a chefetz of a mitzvah. It's a din in the object. You ever understand that? So now, I think the Rambam really becomes clear. why is Rambam stressing Ein Bekol Din Gazel? After all, but you did steal the shofar. What the Rambam is saying, L'cha'ora, is that the object of the mitzvah is the... No. No, that's a key. That's exactly the key. The object of the mitzvah is the sound. Stop. Can the sound be disqualified as mitzvah b'aveira? Well, it depends. Can you give a stigma? Can you give a psul to the quote-unquote object of the mitzvah? And therefore the Rambam says, actually in this case, not because you're a good guy, you're not a good guy, but you get off on a technicality. Because ein b'kol din gezel, there's not enough of a, you don't like tangible, what word did you like? There, I'm not, but here is, ein bo ma, you know, it's better if I just go like this. Right? There's no that I could put my stamp on and say, you know, with a, in red, chepetz ha-gozel. There's nothing there. And therefore, technically speaking, there's no chepetz ha-gozel, therefore I can't become...
Concrete.
Not concrete. That's good. Good. Also, I'm good. It's good. It's not concrete enough, and therefore there's no mitzvah. What does the Hagos HaShri say? Questions in a moment. What does the Hagos HaShri say? So he could, it's possible, be arguing about mitzvah baba vera. If we were giving a mitzvah baba vera shir, we would explore that possibility. But at least for our purposes, I think it's very, very plausible, if not likely, but certainly plausible, to assume that he agrees. Again, remember, we have an intersection of two issues. So they could be arguing about one or the other. So let's suggest as a possibility, I can't prove it, but let's suggest as a possibility that perhaps the Chazal agrees with the definition of mitzvah b'aveira. Well, if he agrees with the definition, then why does he disagree with the Psak? Because he's disagreeing about shofar. The Rambam holds that the chepetz of the mitzvah of shofar is the sound, so technically you skate, you get the mitzvah. But if the Gosri holds that technically the mitzvah is the maisa tekiya, so then what is the chepetz of the mitzvah, Gedalia? The shofar. Shofar is very concrete. The shofar can certainly be stamped Geneva. Yes, please. You still have a question?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you answered a bunch of my questions. So that was
actually, okay, good.
What would the Agoda Ashri or Kwan Soloveitchik say, right, like you're hearing the sound of a shofar and you don't know if it's stolen? Like,
so the answer is, I believe, that it doesn't matter that you don't know. I mean, it matters for you, but objectively, it doesn't matter. If it was stolen, you weren't Yotzei. So you tell me, but it's not my fault I didn't know. You're right. So it's a shogeg. But you'll go up to Shemayim after 120, unless someone tells you beforehand. You'll find out that you weren't Yotzei the mitzvah.
What
maybe you won't get punished because it's not your fault.
But is it possible that you would argue that
it's only for the robber and not for anybody else?
No. Is it possible that you would argue that would never be a scenario because the mitzvah is the koa and you could, and like you would know whether or not your own shofar is stolen?
First of all, just because you split the koa doesn't mean it's your shofar. Why can't I borrow your shofar?
Fine, you're right.
So a person wouldn't necessarily know.
But it's if you're about to blow a shofar, I think you would.
I don't know. Vladavka. I mean, hopefully I didn't take it without permission, but I could certainly have asked you for it. I don't know that you didn't steal it. I can't disprove it 100%, but I don't think so. Okay? Yes?
Can you also say, I don't know, can you also create a third option where he disagrees with the Rambam on the idea of coal, of not being able to?
I'm not sure because I think it's pretty muskam in Shas, yeah, that kol is not concrete enough. There's like mi'ila, you know what mi'ila is? Right, mi'ila is in the Beis Hamikdash. You misappropriate hektesh funds. So it's a question of whether that's just a hektesh version of gezel or something else. That's a mi'ila chakira, but it's certainly similar to gezel, if not exactly gezel. And there also, right? You can't be ma'al b'kol. So I don't think so. If someone could find me proof of that, I'd be very, that, I would say Kemotei Shelo Rav, that's a treasure. But as far as I know, it doesn't exist as a possibility. Are there other possibilities? Maybe we'll mention one or two others in a minute if people saw the Ritva and the Ravid. But for now, this is the straight, so far we're dealing with just black and white. We'll get a little gray if we have time in a minute. Yeah?
What's the source?
The Gemara in Sukkah quotes it. The Gemara, what the Pasuk was? I can't, there are Ein Bo Tzeiah, there's different Pesukim, I can't remember offhand. But it's in the context of Lulav HaGazel, third parak of Lulav. There's a source for that. Is it Daraisa Darabanan? That's a discussion in the Rishonim. We generally assume that it's even on a Daraisa level, but there's a, if I'm not mistaken, I believe it was Tosfos and Sukkah, Daf Tes maybe, that says no, it's only a Darabanan level. But that's, I think, not as common as a Shi. Yes? That's what you wanted to say 5 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Okay, at least you're consistent. Say that for who? For which understanding of shofar?
Meaning, Hagos Hashem would say that because anything that comes out of it is automatically...
It's the product of the poisoned fruit.
Fruit from the poisonous tree.
Yes, that's what I meant. So now I'm asking you a question. We do know, right? This is not speculation. We do know there's a machlokas rishonim. Is the mitzvah tkiyah or shmiya? Which one do you think Hagos Hashri holds? Your explanation would be based on what?
It could put them in either. You can leave them in shmiya and say that it's a machlokas completely on kol. It's whether the kol can be tougher to the show.
Okay, so I don't know for sure. There's not enough in the Hagos Hashri to know. But there's something similar to what you said in the Ritva. Should I mention the Ritva? In the supplemental sources that I gave. How many people saw those? I just mentioned it very briefly. Very, very briefly. The Ritva says, again, it's not on your sheets, but if the Ritva says, the Ritva is like a third or a fourth option. The Ritva is mashma. When you read the Ritva, I didn't bring the quote with me, I'm sorry. He doesn't say it is black and white as, let's say, the Rambam does, but he's mashma that he holds that the mitzvah is shmiya. He's mashma that he holds that the mitzvah is shmiya. Gentlemen, listen. He's mashma that the mitzvah is shmiya, but he still says you're not yotze. That's where Gedalia wants to go. So what was the Ritva's reasoning? The Ritva says that you can't have a mitzvah of ritzui with a stolen... something, with a stolen chauffeur, with stolen sound, however you want to formulate it. What's ritzui? Anyone with the word, what's ritzui?
Desirable.
Yes, but that's not the halachic terminology, but yes, the same shoresh. Ritzui is, in this context, if you talk about like mitzvos, like karbonos, or certain kind of mitzvos, or davar shofar, ritzui is supplication. It's not like stam a mitzvah in a certain cold sense, but like, every mitzvah is hope, you know, we believe is helping us get closer to Hashem, whatever, but certain mitzvahs, it's more frontal, that's more essential to their nature. The whole purpose of the mitzvah is l'ratzot, ritzui, to help us supplicate, to help us entreat, to request of things of Hashem. So the Ritva Shita, this is the Ritva Lishita So in Sukkah, the Ritva holds that when is mitzvah Baba Vera a problem? Only bedvarim shel ritzui. Only when essential component in the mitzvah itself is that we're a frontal, you know, sometimes, you know, my kids will, you know, start talking about how great a father I am, and it's so nice. And you know, right away I go, okay, what do you want? just ask me, right? So sometimes we do all these general things to Hashem, but of course, in our mind, you know, we have a ritzoy agenda. We want Hashem to do X or Y, but that's not front and center in mitzvah. You know, every mitzvah, right? When we put on tefillin, we're hoping we're going to get rewarded for it. We're hoping to have good things in our life because we did good things and we got up for slichos, even though we went to bed at midnight, or if that's early for some of you guys, or you know, that kind of thing, right? But there are other mitzvos where we don't like play around with Hashem. Like we come in, and we say, "Hi, Abba, how was your day? Okay, can you get me a new phone?" Or sometimes we don't even say, "How was your day?" Right? We just go right into it, right? We're not hiding it. It is a davar shel ritzoi. So says the Ritva, if you have a mitzvah which is all about ritzoi, all about asking Hashem for something, trying to supplicate, trying to entreat Hashem, you can't do, you know, if I had told my son, you know, you can't wear a certain shirt or something, or I didn't like something, right? When he's coming to me, you know, frontal with the request, but staring me in the face is the thing I don't want him to be doing, what are the odds of his success, right? Very minimal, right? You got to camouflage your weaknesses when you're going to be that upfront about wanting something. So says the Ritva, you can't have a darvar shel ritzui where you're asking Hashem for something and the thing you're using to ask him is a spit in his face, is stolen.
Even if the object of the mitzvah is the shmiya.
That's what it sounds like. And that is similar, not identical exactly, because he adds that in Kenech. It's very similar to Gedalia. It's very similar to Gedalia. I think he's mashma this way, that it's the shmiya, but you're using a shofar which is stolen to produce the sound which is trying to entreat him. How could you do that? So that is, I think, possible. So there we have a scenario where someone says Shemiyah, but says you are not Yotzei. Anyone want to go the fourth possibility? What's the fourth hypothetical possibility we have? We have a marker here. I'll use it on the board. There's no marker for the board?
About what?
No. Okay. So, again, imagine it's ninth grade. It's biology, Punnett squares. Right? There's four hypothetical possibilities, right? We have two options for the shofar. Is it Shmiyu or Tekiyah? And we have two options for shofar HaGazel. Is it Pusel or is it okay? So we started off by assuming black and white. If you say the Shmiyah, you will say you're Yotzei. If you say it's Tekiyah, you are not Yotzei. And I was suggesting that's the Rambam versus HaGos HaShri. The Ritva seems to say, yes, it's Shmiyah, but you're not Yotzei. That's the third option, which we had not previously considered. Who says the fourth? So what conceptually, logically, who's good at biology? Who knows? What's the fourth possibility we haven't mentioned yet? Tekiyah and Yotzei. So who says that? Anyone see? Maybe the Ravid.
Wouldn't that actually make more sense? Because in the middle of blowing, it's still a not concrete mitzvah. Like you're not, the mitzvah is fulfilled through blowing, not hearing. So the blowing
is still. Right, but that if you say that, that makes it most similar to shaking a stolen lulav, blowing a stolen shofar, an action with a stolen object, and that's a classic example of something you cannot do. I'm not saying it's impossible, because the Ravid is going to say that in a minute. Let me just say out the Ravid, because not everyone saw it. Sometimes the Ravid, you know, I should say sometimes, when the Ravid comments, most of the time, of course, he's arguing on the psak of the Rambam, right? Here, the Ravid, I didn't put it on the sheet, it was in the, for those who saw some of the supplemental sources, I emailed it out, or I took a bad picture of the my page, which again, 3 years ago, this was like the cheapest Samsung phone you could get. That was 3 years ago. Some might say that the rabbi is ready for a new phone. Some might also, not when you buy it on Amazon, an unlocked phone, and you get it to Israel. To buy a new phone in Israel is significantly more expensive than in America. So if you can get an unlocked phone and bring it here, then you can use it with an Israeli SIM card. Just in case you
plan is like
in America.
No.
Oh, it is. Yeah, go if you have Golan or something like that. We can discuss the economics of Aliyah another time. But anyway, so some might say that I need a new phone. Some might say that my phone works perfectly fine. But some might say I need a new phone. Some might also say that it's the type of thing that dedicated Talmidim should give to a dedicated Rebbe, especially if he has a birthday coming up on Sukkot. An anniversary coming up in November.
Remember.
Hanukkah coming up. I mean, I don't know. Anyway, I'm just saying, some might say that. Let's take one step at a time. Anyway, gentlemen, yes, exactly. So the Ravid, the holy Ravid. You should know the library has a definitive biography of the Ravid, but you can't find the library because I took it out and I'm reading it now at home. But you should know, I'll return it eventually. It was written by Professor Isidore Torsky, or Rav Yitzchak Torsky, as either way he was known, Zatzal, who was Rav Lichtenstein's brother-in-law, his older brother-in-law. He married the Rav's older So it was their Chassidim. He was a Chassidish Rebbe also, the Tolner Chassidim. So not only do you have a Hasidisha son-in-law, you know, in the Brisker Misnagdic family, but as the joke goes, not only was a Hasid, he wrote his PhD dissertation on the Ravid. Right? Going into the Brisker family, you know, the Rambam family. No, I think the Ravid is, anyway, so the Ravid was like the man in the later period in the 12th century in Provence. Provence is southern France. If I ever came back as a Rishon, I'd want to be in the south of France. Isn't that where like all the movie stars are? And that's like the Riviera, like the French Riviera. Like that's like the fun place of France. Anyway, whatever. Okay, that's another thing I have to do for. Anyway, so anyway, let me just tell you what the Ravid says. So the Ravid here does not argue on the psak of the Rambam. The Ravid agrees that you're Yotzei with a shofar agam, but the Ravid quotes a Yerushalmi. I don't think anyone saw the Yerushalmi. So let me tell you what the Yerushalmi says. The Yerushalmi also discusses this question, and the Yerushalmi asks the question, my high, what is the difference between the stolen lulav and the stolen shofar? And the Yerushalmi there assumes, against the HaGos HaShri, Yerushalmi assumes you are Yotze. But the Yerushalmi gives two answers. The second answer in the Yerushalmi is basically the Rambam. There's a difference. In Lulav, you're fulfilling the mitzvah with the Lulav itself. And in Shofar, it's the sound. Without the Brisker terminology, it's what we said in the Rambam. It's really in the Yerushalmi. Amazing. But there's a first answer. There's a first answer in the Yerushalmi. And the Yerushalmi there has a drasha. It's a drasha that we do not have in the Bavli. The Yerushalmi quotes the Pasuk and says there's a difference between v'lakachtem lachem, which is what we say about lulav, and as opposed to l'kachtem lachem, yom trua yelachem. Says the Yerushalmi, the Pasuk says about Rosh Hashanah, yom trua yelachem mikal makom. The drasha implying it doesn't matter how you hear the shofar as long as you hear it, i.e. it doesn't matter if it was stolen. Yom Trua Lechem, as long as you have Yom Trua, Mikom Makom, however you got it. So the Ravid says, he's all upset at the Rambam, that the Rambam seems to be working off of the second answer of the Yerushalmi. But the Ravid basically agrees with the Psak, but he makes a big deal out of the fact that he really thinks that the right answer is the first one. There's a drasha. Why are you, so let's deconstruct now, let's try to get back, because maybe I lost some of you guys. Bottom line, the Ravid says, why are you Yotze with the Shofar Hagazul? Because of the Gzeres HaKasuv. There's a custom, there's a drasha. Yom tru yelachem, mikol makom. Now, if the Ravid agrees with the psak of the Rambam, why does he make such a big deal? Like, what's the big nafkamina, what the reason is? They're agreeing about the psak.
Well, you said he might hold that it would be mitzvah.
That means he wouldn't hold that. Oh. In the same situation, by other mitzvahs, Rambam would say you're good, and he would say you're
no,
good.
Not other mitzvahs, because they have to be a mitzvah that's aimed but cold. Yes, we're only talking about mitzvah. But why does Ravid get all upset that Rambam gives a different reason about shofar?
Maybe he has a different understanding of the Zavah Avera.
No, he, or. So what do you think? Let's go with that. Remember I said we had four Punnett squares. We had one left. Go! Just say it out. Therefore.
Therefore, he can use a different understanding.
You wouldn't be allowed.
No. Say it better. You can do better. let's up.
Shh.
Shh. Only two people talking right now.
With the Ravid's different understanding of the pasuk, he can now say that the mitzvah is even tkiyah, and you'd be able to fulfill your obligation with the stolen.
Good. Let's just say it out this way to make sure everyone understands. If the Ravid holds tkiyah, you ready? Here we go. Everyone listen. JC, right here. If the Ravid holds tkiyah, therefore logically you would have expected what result?
Say you can't.
You would have can't. Elamai, you are Yotzi because. The Gzeres HaKasuv. Exactly. Who says this besides Mr. JEC? The star? The Chasam Sofer. Ooh, that's a good day's work. You can actually take off the rest of the day. Because if by 10 o'clock in the morning you were mechaben to a Chasam Sofer, that's a good day's work already. The Chasam Sofer in Rosh Hashanah Daf Chav Ches says exactly this pshat. He says that the Ravid holds. Just don't tell anyone I said that. The Ravid holds. It's not like it's been recorded or anything like that. The Ravid holds. To me, according to the Chasam Sofer, that the mitzvah is tekiyah, and therefore, if we were using logic, he would have agreed with the Hagos Hashri. But he holds, Gzeres HaKasuv beats logic. If there is such a Gzeres HaKasuv, do you believe that's the correct shot from the Torah itself? Where he told me, you're Yotze. Nekuda. Period. Again, this is another kind of stepping back for a moment. Let's zoom out for a minute. Methodologically, again, in terms of like your own building, your learning skill set and toolbox, if you have somebody who had an option of picking a svara for something, but bypassed the svara for a Gzeres HaKasuv, right, what does that tell you, Sherlock Holmes? That exactly. In other words, there's always a certain attraction to a svara. Especially in this case, it's like not an obvious Gzeres HaKasuv at all. Yom Tru Lechem, Mikom Akom. Well, Lekachton Lechem, but you can't steal it? Like, again, so Gzeres HaKasuvs are illogical. That's with an A, not an I. Right? Not illogical, but they're not necessarily, they're not operating with logic. They're illogical. So why not use the logical approach? Now, there might be other explanations. Yes, it could be Mitzvah Avera. It's possible. But the Chasam Sofer suggests, from the very fact that you see he bypasses the Svara, it must be because he fundamentally rejects it. And therefore, if you hold this tekiyah, logically that would lead you into Hagos HaShri world, Hagos HaShri land. But the Gzeres HaKasuv pulls you back from the brink. So let's just review, because we want to move on. We still have a little bit more to see. Four shitos. Right? One question afterwards, you, and then we're going to go on to another topic. For four shitos, the Rambam and Agos Ashri, both, they argue about whether you're Yotzei or not. We suggested that they're having a fundamental argument. If it's Shmir, you are Yotzei. That seems to be the Rambam very clearly when he says it. So we just added a little explanation to it, but he does say it. That's not speculation. Or Agos Ashri, which we were assuming means Tokea, Tkia, therefore not Yotzei. But, and that's the two shitos that people know about more well known. And it's clear, crystallized, the machlokas is good. But there are other possibilities. The other possibilities include the Ritva and the Ravid. The Ravid holds, according to Ariel and the Chasam Sofer, that it's Tkia, but you're Yotzei. And the Ritva holds is Shmia, but you're not Yotzei. Each one, because they throw in a wild card. The Ravid holds the Gzeres HaKosov as the wild card, and the Ritva has this idea of Ritsui as a wild card. Okay, but zooming back in now, the big, in terms of our big picture, yet another possible nafkamina of the question of Tkiya versus Shmia. Yes?
It's probably like if it's nicer to like have that last possibility in that fourth corner.
It's elegant, right?
Yeah, it fits really nicely. But at the same time, if you like look at the last one of the Ravid, like he mentions Kol Shuv Ravid in the Gezo. It makes it sound like he's not talking about Tkiya rather than Shmia. He's talking about the Kol rather than the actual blowing. And that fits a lot better also with the Gzera Katu. It sounds more like he's arguing with Rama on Din Gezo, which is clear because he says
okay.
And because it has Din Gezo, he says, no, the reason that it's not because of Shmia or whatever, it's because of.
I hear you. So you know what, Blinad, if you want, we'll go back to this Medrash, or I don't know if they have it in this Medrash, but not. We can still find it in the library, or you probably have it on the same doohickey you're reading the Ravid from now. Do you have it on the, you have a Brylon? What do you have now?
No, it's
not. Oh, you know, anyway, but the point is, that's fine. We can look at the Chasam Sofer. Let's see what the Chasam Sofer says. We can look at it inside, okay? Yes, well, last question, then we got to move on. Yeah.
It seems that from the Din, the custom of Yom Churo, Mikol Makom, doesn't that seem to also imply that it's Shmia? It's saying that you need to have a Yom Trua. And if it's saying that it's from any place, then it's implying that you just need to hear the shofar. You don't need
a Trua could be used as a verb or also. It could be used. I don't think that's necessarily the case. Again, you're saying something similar. You know, that maybe the pasuk, the limud, or even the word to derive it implies something else. I'm not saying it's impossible, but it's certainly possible. Again, at least the psukim themselves. Again, it's not just the way the Ravid read the pasuk or the Chazal read the Ravid. It's again, it's the contrast. Why not? Again, the set part of what makes it so sharp is the second answer in the Yerushalmi, which is the Yerushalmi also is an alternative to. And the Chasam Sofer apparently thinks it's a big deal. Which one you choose? The Ravid, I should say, thinks it's a big deal. The second one really is explicit that the mitzvah is in the kol, as opposed to the lulav, meaning or the shofar, which would be equivalent to the lulav. So because the second answer is so strong in that, it kind of colors what you assume the alternative is. I think that's pretty clear that's what's going on in Chasam Sofer's understanding of the Ravid. I'm not saying it's the only way you can understand the Ravid, but it fits nicely if it's right. We can definitely agree to that. Okay, let's go a little weiter. Let's do a little bit more. Another quick nafkamina, which I don't think is so well known, but I gave you from the Mate Ephraim from the Achronim, mitzvah bo yoser mi b'shlucho, right? Generally speaking, there are certain mitzvahs which you can have a shliach for, but the Gemara in Kiddushin tells us very famously that even mitzvahs which you can have a shliach for, it's always better to do it yourself. Mitzvah bo yoser mi b'shlucho, better yourself. So comes along the Mate Ephraim, who in our chug we've mentioned a few times in the last few weeks, right? From Ephraim Zalman Margolios, who was professionally a banker.
Independently.
I'm going to produce a lot of bankers from this year. I keep on calling him.
Independently.
Yes, Baruch Hashem. There we go. See? Excellent. All right?
You just want a new phone.
I'm very transparent. Listen, if you're going to go for something, it's better than English cake, right? Tarek's got to learn to dream higher. The odds are you'll give us nothing, but if I...
No, but he knows that.
He's more realistic?
Yeah.
It's okay, but that's like a hero in life, right? Exactly. That's a hakira in life. You go for the go for big or you go for the incremental.
Well, let's even treat nothing as a cell phone. Yeah, but if you ask for a cell phone, we'll give you English cake. You'd be like, this isn't a cell phone.
Actually, I'll just enjoy the English cake.
Wait, you ask for a cell phone, like,
let me go for the back guy's for
okay. Listen, you don't need to convince me that Rabbi Targum is smarter than me. All right, this is—I can give you many hochachot for that. Okay, many hochachot. Anyway, so the Mate Ephraim asked the question: if I know how to blow the shofar, is there a mile? Is there a hider to blowing it myself, or does it not matter? I should listen to the guy in shul. This is like a real halachah. I have a brother-in-law in the neighborhood that I live in. He recently, in the last few years, became actually a member of the staff at Leif HaTorah. But even before he was officially working for Leif HaTorah, he lived in the neighborhood, he was very involved in the yeshiva, but he only moved there 7 years ago. One of their original founding members, who's the Shaner Bet Rebbe now, you want to go to Kemo Shavah? Yeah. Rav Jake from Kemo Shavah?
Oh yeah.
So Rav Jake, who's Shaner Bet Rebbe, has been at Leif HaTorah for all 13 or 14 years, he's the shofar blower in Leif HaTorah. So my brother-in-law just got there 7 years ago. Shaner Bet, yes. Not the topic. Okay, gentlemen. So my brother, I'm trying to have the batola here, not you. So my brother-in-law is a crackerjack, amazing batokeya. It pains me to have to admit that about my brother-in-law, you know. But he really is very good at that. So probably, but like they have a shofar blower already. It's like one of the main rebbeim. So he doesn't blow the shofar. That's his minion though. So sometimes if other shuls in the neighborhood ask him to blow, he'll go, because he likes to blow, because people who know how to blow like to blow, that's normal. But most of the time, I think like this year, he is not expecting to blow. He'll be in Leif HaTorah davening both days, and then hear of Jake. So the question the Mate Ephraim is asking for a guy like that, right? I can't blow, so it's not a shiloh for me. But if somebody who is blowing, who knows how to blow, or any of you guys really know how to blow, right? But you're not going to be the shofar blower for the yeshiva. So is there a hidur to blow for yourself in your room, or you know something like that? Or does it matter or not? So that's the Mate Ephraim's question. And of course, how does that relate to our chakira? Obviously, if you hold that the mitzvah is a tekiya santaka, you know, maybe there is a heater to do it yourself. But if the mitzvah is shmiya, so what does that mean? It means that whether you blow for yourself or whether you hear someone else blowing, there's no better and worse. Because in both cases, how are you being yotze? By hearing. You're saying if someone's a better shofar blower, that's a different question.
What about the quality of the shofar?
Let's just say this. Let's say someone's a better shofar blower. You're not 100%. Okay. So that's a different question. But that's not mitzvot mibushlucho. That's just I'm not sure I'm yotzi or I can have hidur in my kolos or something. There are people who have those kind of chumras. You know, they want to blow various other minhagim or things like that. But that wouldn't be this question. I don't think that would be telling this chakira. Yeah.
Wait. Can you say even maybe that if you hold shmiya, then maybe hearing it is better than blowing it because then you can focus on the kol a lot better. If you're actually blowing it, it's hard because you have to focus on blowing.
I don't know. If you really found it hard to focus, but I don't think it's a Matthias question. I guess I'm not sure. I mean, he doesn't say that, but could you say it? I guess you could. Okay, but it certainly could be a nafka mina. Okay, let's move to the second half of the shiur. Questions. I don't mean yours. You've had a lot, Baruch Hashem, but I mean questions that the Rishonim and the Achronim themselves ask. In other words, what I'm trying to show you, which I think the guys when you went through my course yesterday, you saw, is that this is a very famous discussion, and in the first half of the sugya is very neat. You know, the supplemental Rivet and Ritva made it a little bit complicated, but certainly the way I originally gave it to you on the sheet, which was deliberate. It was a neat package. Basic Hakira, explicit in the Rishonim, some good wham bam, two Nachimines in the Rishonim, one in the Achronim, so neat and perfect, you can make it a little chart, and everything's great. The second half of the Sugya is all blown up. Because there are so many different Gemaras which seem to have contradictory implications. You know, and one thing we know about the Rishonim is that they don't get to just pick and choose which Gemara they like. So if you hold it Shmiya, that's got to work with all the Gemaras. If you hold it Tekiya, well, what are you going to do with the other Gemaras that don't work? I mean, it's not so easy to just say, well, I don't hold of a Gemara. So what I wanted to show you was that there are a number of really solid proofs for or against both of those black and white approaches to the Sugya. So for example, the Mishnah says, if you hear the echo of the shofar, not the shofar itself, but its echo. How would you hear the echo? What was the case? Right, exactly. In a cave or in something like that, and you hear the echo. Right? The discussion there in the Gemara and the Rishonim is, you know, what if I'm in the, what if I hear a mixture of them both, right? Kamasora, right? If I hear a mixture of them both, shout out for Rabbi Rich, or something like that. But fundamentally, leave aside which case it will apply to. But Lamaisa, if you echo, the Gemara is clear, you're not Yotze. You're not Yotze if you hear the echo. So what's the who is that a proof to? Shmiya, right? Because I did blow the shofar. I blew the shofar perfectly. What's the difference that I heard an echo or not? I blew the shofar perfectly. And yet there we have an explicit Gemara that says you're not Yotze. So who deals with that question? Source number 10 on your sheet. Not such a well-known personality to you. The Maharam, excuse me, not 10, 12. The Maharam Al-Shakar. I think others pronounce it Al-Shakar or something like that. Something like that. What?
Which one of the sources on here got kicked out of his own yeshiva?
I don't know.
We were looking up some of the guys and one of them like got kicked out of his original.
Well, when you find that out, let me know. I'm not doubting you, I just don't know. Okay? So the Maharam Al-Shakar, he asked this question. He's bothered. How could a person say, how could some Rishonim say it's the Man D'Amar Tekiya if the Gemara says you're puzzled if you hear the echo? Who cares about hearing it? It's about blowing. What was the Maharam Al-Shakar's answer? Anyway, what's the halachic term he uses, or what's the halachic term we could use? What category is he saying? Let's do fill in the blanks. Even if you hold a mitzvah tekiya, why? Because it's a tenai. I don't mean tenai the way you did it, like in you know shomrim. It's a condition in the fulfillment of the mitzvah. Exactly. That defines a full Tekiya. We have that as he gives us as a proof for other mitzvos, like Kriya Shema, right? The mitzvah is obviously saying the Shema, Kriya Shema, but it has to be Mashmiya La'oznov, right?
Well, you could say that you don't actually mean the sound of the shofar, you're hearing the reflection of the sound, the same way that you would...
Yes! So what? That, but why is that a problem if you hold it Tekiya?
You read Shema into a cave?
No, I'm saying... you would still say that it's Shmiya, right? You still say that this guy, the Gemara holds it's Shmiya, the reason why you're not be Yotze.
No, Shmiya makes the most sense. I'm saying the simple understanding of the Gemara is that it is Shmiya. That's why an echo is a problem, for sure. But what is Rabbeinu Tam going to hold? What's the other Shittos will hold it is that the mitzvah is Tekiya. How are they going to understand this Gemara? Why should the Gemara say you're not Yotze by hearing an echo if I blew it perfectly and I hold the mitzvah is Tekiya? That's the question. Okay, Chab? So says the Maharam Al-Shakar, even if you hold the mitzvah as tekiya, but a prat, a tenai, a detail that's necessary in the fulfillment of that mitzvah of tekiya, is that you must produce the kind of tekiya which you then hear the act sound and not just. Let's just read the English, let's read the language if it's unclear. Let's read the language. Number 12. According to those who hold the mitzvah is to blow, shemavarchen al hatkiya. Again, back on that point, what's the proof that they hold that? Because that's the nusach of the bracha. Lo islo the shmiya talya misa. They don't hold that that everything is dependent on the shmiya. They hold that it's dependent on the blowing. The ain ikra mitzvah hatkiya. So implied question. So what's the problem with the echo? I did blow perfectly. So he answers second line. Ella shetzorich lahashmiya laozno. It still has to be something that you can hear. Dumya lekriya shema v'hadomalo to kriya shema or other things in davening. Here's the underlying part. I guess you could say sh'af apisha mitzvah kriya sorich lahashmiya laozno. Again, he leaves a little bit to our imagination, but I think what he's saying is again, it's not just enough to blow. It has to be a certain stature. There has to be a certain quality to the sound you blew. What's that? That you heard it. So hearing it is not the goal, but hearing it is mashlim. It's like the final, the makib apatish, the sof pasuk of your blowing. So the real mitzvah is the blowing, but you see it's not, that's only maybe 98% of it, but there is that extra 2%, which is to clinch it, to close the deal, it's, you know, to be the clerk, to get the save, you gotta get the last out. The last out is mashmil oznav. Yes?
So there's two things that would seem to, that you could use to really help him, but one thing, like, if the shofar doesn't make any sound, then it for sure it's not considered a shofar, you didn't blow it. But are you allowed to read Megillah into a cave, or say Shema into a cave, like in a situation, or let's try to a situation.
It sounds, again, you reading it, so if you, it's a, it depends.
Discuss that issue, because that would,
I don't know if anyone discusses it, but logically, based about hearing aids. Hearing aids, is that what you were going to say? Yeah, that's or microphones. I meant microphones.
Yeah,
machlokes.
Yeah,
yes.
Or like
yes. Yeah, well. Well, no, it's not making sense only because yes. The end. Okay. Anyway, yeah. The answer to all your questions is yes. The answer is yes. Yes, exactly. If you hold that you need to hear the sound and you're not hearing an actual sound, you're hearing either an echo or a digital reproduction of the sound.
Can't you like?
So yes, that's a discussion. Are you Yotze, something like Megillah with the microphone is a big discussion. Yes, that's correct. Yes?
I think he makes such a comparison between Tekiah's shofar and Shema, when Shema has an actual drash in the custom, and it actually says Shema, and that's the word Shema, we say Yishmael Elkhazam. It doesn't have such a drash by.
Doesn't matter. Okay, according to Rabbeinu Tam, Udi'imei, who hold like him, the mitzvah is tekiah. That is equivalent to the mitzvah being kriya shema.
How can you add this part that needs to be heard to the
shmil al-mitzvah? The answer is, if I didn't have the halacha of the echo, I wouldn't have. But once we have a chazal, a gemara, that says, which we paskin like, you cannot hear the echo, says the Maharam al-Shakar, unless you got a better answer for me, the most logical explanation for that is that clearly there's a t'nai in the t'kiya, and he's adding, again, it's not only, he doesn't only know that because of Shema. What he's saying is, don't think I'm crazy that I hold that the mitzvah is the t'kiya, but it has to be mashmilos. No, after all, there's a precedent in halacha. It's not because of that. You're right, the exeris cause of the drasha about Shema is not about Shema, not about shofar. But he doesn't, you don't need that. He's just giving that as a precedent, right? Whenever you say something novel, you can have a precedent that bolsters your opinion. I think that's all he's saying. Yeah, one more question, yeah.
Why would the fact that I'm hearing an echo change whether or not, like, I'm still hearing the same sound?
No, you're not. That's the point.
But
you're
why?
Hearing a... I don't know the science of echoes, but that's at least the assumption of the Gemara, is that you're not.
It's the same sound as that.
Yeah.
Right, but it's not sure. By the time you hear it, in milliseconds, you're hearing something that is the result of the mountain.
So there's a
hakira and echoes? Changed, impacted by the mount, by the wall of the cave.
Why does the wall change?
Maybe science is a different understanding of echo.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what science is explicitly.
It's not like grumma about sound.
No, that's what it is.
The sound itself, again, is like you're not hearing the same sound. I don't mean that it's perceptible to the human ear. Obviously, that's not perceptible. The difference would not be perceptible, I assume. Although, I don't know, echoes do sound a little differently, right?
Like,
that's why we like echoes.
When it hits the wall, it gets like lower.
I don't know, lower, higher.
It's not really lower.
Okay, one more question. One more question, then we're moving on. Yes.
Is it possible to argue that in the case of Rosh Hashanah, it's like hearing the echo, it's like in addition to the sound?
Yes, so that the Rishonim discuss. You told me you learned that in the summer, right? Yeah. If you hear a mixture of the sounds, if you hear partially the sound from the shofar directly, partially from the echo. That's a discussion there. That's to the answer is it could be that's what's going on. And then the question is, are you still not Yotze or not? Okay, if you are in the cave, you know, can you be hearing both simultaneously? Is that even possible? That's not for us, but yes, that is discussed. That is discussed there. Okay, that was one question. A second question. Let's go back now to the Shu'ah Rambam. What was the Rambam's proof? What does the Rambam think is his trump card? No political endorsements there.
Everybody's going to need to use the
shofar. Right? And remember this? The Rambam says, how do I know that the mitzvah is Shmiya? Because most people aren't blowing. And what does the Rambam assume? That if the mitzvah would have been Tekiya, everyone would have had to do it on their own. The Rambam thinks that he's got Rabbeinu Tam dead to rights with that.
He's using what people do as a proof of what people should do. Are you allowed to do that? Am I allowed to say the halakha must be
that?
Yeah, we do defend Minhago Yisrael.
It's a good question, but that's not exactly what is happening. He has a halachic opinion about what the mitzvah is. He's stated that in general. But he's not saying, I didn't know what the answer was, but then I looked out at the shul and I said, oh, it must be. That's not what he's saying. I'm not saying you could never do that. What Gabriel is saying is relevant. You know, sometimes the Gemara itself says, you know, poke my chazi. Sometimes the Gemara says, look out and see what Jews are doing. But I don't think that's what the Rambam is doing. The Rambam is giving this is step two, or three or four, but it's not step one. Right, step one is, this is what he thinks the mitzvah is. Step two is, and if you disagreed with me, well, then you got a problem. Yes? I cannot hear.
I got it.
You may not have realized how loud that was. Correct. So that's of course. So the next step is, with all due respect to the Rambam, presumably, you know, Rabbeinu Tam was also a good Jew, also Epis know how to learn a little bit. So clearly, this can't be such a you know, checkmate as the Rambam thinks. So how do we get out of that? Right? How do we get out of that? So the first instinct that we have, whenever you hear about someone doing a mitzvah for someone else, we think of shliach. So who says in fact that? Who says that explicitly? Source number 13, Hagos Maimonios. He says explicitly, Ho v'hatokeya hu shluchan. Explicitly. The Baal Tokeya is the shliach. You know, just, you don't even need to go, you know, even in like 10th grade you could have given that answer. You know, like, certainly in yeshiva, like, Shluch HaShalom Kamoso. The Baal Tokeya is the shliach. It doesn't prove anything. Apparently the Rambam held that you can't be a shliach for shofar. But who said he's right? So one possible answer is that now why would you argue over that? So that might be connected to the bigger point. Right? If the whole mitzvah is the shmiah, maybe that's not something that is subject to shlichus. But if it's just a maisa tekiya, so maybe that's why Rabbeinu Tam would hold that it is subject to shlichus. But alternatively, what's an alternative to that? An alternative is what was suggested in number 14. That's, anyone familiar with the Sefer Rishimo Shiurim? So there's Sfarim, it's a series of Sfarim written by Rav Herschel Reichman, who we now know his real name is, right? He's also Rebbe at YU. There's two Herschel Rebbeim at YU whose both given name was Tzvi. Rabbi Reichman was also a very premier Talmud of Soloveitchik, and going back at least 15 years, maybe even closer to 20, he has started editing his own notes and then publishing Shiurim of Rav Soloveitchik on various Masechtos, and his series of Sfarim are called Rishimos Shiurim. So they're his notes, his Rishimos of the Shiurim of Rav Soloveitchik. So there he quotes Rav Soloveitchik as suggesting, how are we Yosei Megillah, right? You'll see, Emirat Hashem, trust me on this one, that Yomim Narayim and Yeshiva will be one of the high points of your year and your life, but certainly of your year. But another high point of your year, and maybe your life, will also be Purim and Yeshiva. Those are you kind of... high on Torah. Yes. You know those wild and crazy Rambam kids. I know what they say about Rambam. Like wild and crazy place. Okay. He's speaking only for himself. He represents no one else but himself there. Okay? So, says Rav Soloveitchik, how are you Yotze? On comes Purim in Yeshiva, unforgettable. How are you getting Yotze the Megillah? So says Rav Soloveitchik, well, how is that working? I'll add, how are you Yossi every Shabbos if your father makes Kiddush? Shomea Ke'one. Hashomea Yotze? Dafka Bedin Shomea Ke'one. Da'al Yoda Nahari Hu Ki'ilu Taka Ba'atzmo. Okara Samigil Ba'atzmo. Now, what is significant about this, we're not going to delve into it too much now, but what is significant about this is, when do we use Shomea Ke'one? What kind of things do we use Shomea Ke'one for? Mitzvos B'dibor. Dibor, right? You don't say Shomea Ke'one, I took Truma for you, Shomea Ke'one. No, Shomea means I heard, it's as if I said it. So we're talking about things of Dibor. So the obvious problem is, what does that have to do with shofar? Shofar is an action. Shofar is an action. I have to blow the shofar. So for this, I think it's clear that our Soloveitchik implicitly is assuming, like a very well-known chiddush, of his great-grandfather and his namesake. Who was he named after? His grandfather was alive. He was actually named after his great-grandfather, the first famous Yosef Dov Halevi, and that was known as the Beis Halevi, or Yosef Dov Halevi Soloveitchik the First. And the Beis Halevi, in his Sefer on Chumash, in the back, has drushot. And in Drush Tesvav, towards the end of that, you will find a chiddush of the Beis Halevi, where the Beis Halevi says something very beautiful and profound. Soloveitchik has a book, a collection of his essays called Yemei Zikaron. It's like mustard yellow. It's not the most attractive cover, but it's books about generally relating to Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, this time of year, Tishrei. And there, Soloveitchik has a longer essay where he talks about this chiddush of his great-grandfather. But the point, the kernel here is a chiddush of the Beis Halevi and others, that in fact, what is Tkiyah Shofar? It's a form of tefillah. Usually tefillah is our articulate expression of our hopes, our dreams, our aspirations, our requests, our praises. We articulate using the words of Tehillim and Chazal. We articulate what we want to say to Hashem. But said the Beis Halevi, shofar is itself a form of tefillah. It is an inarticulate tefillah, but not necessarily in the way that we would think, well, that lawyer was inarticulate, or that rabbi didn't give a good shiur, he's inarticulate. Here, says the Beis Halevi, it's at least as high, if not a higher level of tefillah. Sometimes we have a certain emotion and we can put it into words. But there are other times in life where what we want to say is so primal, so emotional, we can't even limit it. We can't even construct it into words. That would almost be limited. Says the Beis Halevi, all those things that in other less emotional times we can kind of find the right words for, other times, you know, just the that itself says it all. We know where it's coming from. I once had to pay a shiva call to somebody, and it was really an emotional shiva call, and there were no words, and I just didn't know what to say, and I was kind of stammering. And at that point, the Avela, which is very nice of her, she says, Rabbi, don't worry, your eyes say it all. So sometimes we can have non-verbal communication, and this, says the Beis Halevi, is in a certain sense verbal. It's a sound, but it's without words. It's a form of tefillah. So there's a lot of very beautiful hashkafa and other things that could come from that. Not our topic at the moment. I just mention it because you have to assume like that if you want to bring Shamei Kohen into the equation. If you hold, for whatever reason, that Shlichus is not applicable, you have an alternate of Shamei Kohen, but only if you make this assumption that it's tefillah. If you assume that it's some kind of a maisa, so then you only have shlichus or nothing. If you hold it's tefillah, so then you have this option of Shemei Kohen. Yes.
Yeah, so I don't know if you addressed this exactly in the bathroom, but you know, when Hagam Manmanu researched Shem Shem Moto, and I got to be proof as to why it could be Litva. Well, if that were the case, how come we don't also? Why wouldn't we also say that?
Well, not if we don't know how. But yes, would there be a hiddur? Maybe the answer is yes. I didn't address that, but the answer is yes. Maybe yes. Maybe it would all go together. Yes. Yeah.
The Rishon's share of supposed to be being Mechanish and even bigger than basically. He seems to say that. Basically, it sounds like he's strictly within the Rambam. The Rishon sounds like he's actually going
with the Rabbi and Thomas. Can you talk about Atma? I don't think you have to. The Beis Halevi wasn't addressed. He was quoting a different Rambam. I don't think you have to address, limit the Beis Halevi, but you are right that our Soloveitchik is saying this Dafka for Rabbi and Tom, correct?
How do you say Shemekon on a Maisa?
Because it's a Maisa of Tefillah. That's exactly the Chiddush.
No, but the starting Maisa and the Bowen.
No, but that is. No, but if I speak, that's a myself speaking, and then there's the words that come out of me. The blowing of the shofar and the words, the non-articulate words that come out is the sound. Listen, we're running, and I'm not saying we're running late, we're learning, it's beautiful, but I don't want to keep you too long. We've already been here for a long time. So let me just wrap up this year, just make sure we all got the basic points, and then anyone who wants to stay in shir in the base medrash, I'm happy to continue talking till lunch if you want about the sugya, but for those who want to learn other things, or go back to Bav Metzia, or just need to stretch. So let's wrap this up in the next few minutes, and then we can have do whatever else we want to do. Lemaisa, just kind of skipping to the punchline, there is one final possibility. And the final possibility, it's not clear if it would really work, but we have a number of achronim, I gave you a few of them, but there's more than I put on the page, suggests that with all these contradictory proofs, instead of just trying to give an answer here and there, you know, we're just kept putting band-aid after band-aid on the sugya, take a step back and realize it's a false choice. They're both true. They're both true. There's two kiyumim. There's two mitzvos. There's a kiyum to blow the shofar, and there's a kiyum to hear the shofar. There's both. All the gemaras, all the evidence that points out to tzikiyah, that's right. All the evidence that sounds like you have to hear it, that's right. You're right. You're right. Everyone's a winner. They're all true. That's the shagas. Aryeh Shita, the Minchas Chinuch, I didn't put it on the page, the Minchas Chinuch holds that way as well. It became a popular approach. Rav Soloveitchik quotes his grandfather. This is in the last source on your page, if I'm not mistaken. Yep. So the last source, which is a fascinating sefer called the Igros Hagrid. These are letters that they published after Rav Soloveitchik died, from roughly a 3 to 5 year period, if I'm not mistaken, like when he was very young, of letters that he wrote. But not like the kind of letters or nowadays WhatsApps or emails you write your friends or your parents. You know, the dinner was good, my roommate's annoying, I love my roommate, my Rebbe's amazing, you know, or whatever, it's so hot, I'm dying from slichos, you know, when are you coming, send me a sandwich maker, I need American cheese, or maybe that's just what I sent my parents in those days. Anyway, Rav Soloveitchik had a ton of letters, which we had copies of, which were in learning, like serious learning. Many from his father and some from other gedolim, but most of them are with his father, most. But as far as I know, a bold statement coming. As far as I know, it's the only time in Jewish history you can have a book of letters published where there's so much, which is so rich in content, that the letters can be published as a perush on the Rambam. And that's what the Sefer is. The letters are not organized chronologically. The letters are organized al Seder HaRambam. And you see all the different Rambams. He doesn't talk about every Rambam there is, but there's a lot. It's a big book. Igros Hagrid Halevi, and it's published as if it's a commentary on the Rambam, and it's letters. Some of the stuff is, you know, there is some human interest stuff in it a little bit. Like there's one letter towards the end where he writes his father, and there's a back and forth, and after one thing, the father sends him back, that your younger brother, Aaron, he said this, and I said this. And anyway, so Rav Soloveitchik then writes back, he was in a different place in Europe, and he refers to his brother as Arale. It's cute to hear him talking about his younger brother with the nickname Arale. But more beautiful is he says, oh, it's so beautiful, because when I left the house, when I moved out, when I went away, little Arale, he was just a makshan. You know, he asked good questions, but now I see he's even a tartzan. He used to be just a guy who asked lots of questions. Here's the best part of that. So not only do you have this beautiful human interest, older brother pride in his younger brother, if you do the dates, if I'm not mistaken, Rav Aaron Soloveitchik at the time is still under bar mitzvah. And you'll see there he's quoting an answer from a tumim, which is one of the hardest commentaries, a whole razzle-dazzle. He's so proud that like from the time Rav Aaron was like, you know, 9 till he was 11, wow, he's become, went from a makshan into a tartzan, right? So it's good we're all sitting, because else our knees would go weak and we would faint. And remember I said at the beginning of Shir, don't give up. But sometimes these stories can make us really doubt.
It's too late to be on that level before Bar
Mitzvah. That's true, but we can still do great things after that. Anyway.
How old was the Rav when he was writing these letters?
Different ages, but he was, I believe most, if not all, were from the time of Europe, and he moved to Europe when he was in his early 30s or early 30s. In his 20s, yes, most of them.
Wait, in his 20s or 30s?
In his 20s, most of them, for sure.
Yeah, in Berlin. Yeah. When he stayed in Berlin for a while, he moved to Boston, he was like
40. He moved to Boston, I believe he was 30, or early 30s. No, he was younger. He moved in the 1930s, he was born in 1903.
Right.
And I don't remember the exact date, although it's easy to check. I think he moved somewhere in the 1930s to America. Yeah. All right. Nunu. We could talk about Gedolim and all the time we waste on the internet another time. Or all the other times we waste when they were just learning clearly as a kid. But that's not today's schmooze. Okay? So what did Rav Soloveitchik say from his grandfather? that he held a variation of this. Not that there are two kiyumim, the way the Minchas Chinuch or the Shagas Aryeh say, but rather there's a difference between the Maisa Mitzvah and the kiyum. And this is a very common theme in Brisker. There are many, many mitzvos in which the Maisa and the kiyum are simultaneous. Right? Take lulav. We use that as a foil a lot of the shiur, right? What's the Maisa Mitzvah? Shaking the lulav. What's the kima mitzvah? Shaking the lulav. It's the same thing. What's the kiyum? Kiyum is the cha-ching. The kiyum is the thing that you accomplish. Cha-ching, cha-ching. It's a cha-ching moment. So most of the time these things are simultaneous. But Soloveitchik and in the family there have shown many examples where you can split the two. The maisa may be one thing, but the kiyum is another. I think they're both the same there. Shuva, they're not the same. That's where Soloveitchik's answer for that. I don't think so. Let me just finish this, guys. So Sarah Soloveitchik and David's grandfather, you have all this contradictory evidence. The Maisa Tekiah, excuse me, the Tekiah is the Maisa Mitzvah. The Kiyum is the hearing. So even though the Ikar is the hearing, the Kiyum is the Cha-Ching, but you shouldn't think, as we've thought until now, that if the Ikar is the hearing, that the Tekiah is like nothing. And then, hey, you have all these questions, XYZ Gemaras. No, even though the Ikar is the Shmia, there are halachas about the Tekiah as well, because it's the Maisa Mitzvah. Just to say what Rav Soloveitchik himself added onto his grandfather, we can go back to the beginning of this year. What's the machlokas about the Nusach HaBracha? Which one does the Nusach HaBracha go after? Do you say it's based on the Maisa Mitzvah or the Tekiyas Mitzvah? The problem with this, and what this will be the last word that I will say, is exactly what you asked me before and I ignored you. On purpose. Even though I love you. That is, the problem with this is that on the one hand it would be so neat and nice and elegant if this is true. On the other hand, it's very difficult to square the Sari or the Rav, Rav Chaim, with the language of the Rishonim. Now, maybe you could say, even though they didn't say it, we could read it in. That's a kvetch. Maybe. It's, I think, almost impossible to say this in the language of the Tshuvas HaRambam. Because what's the one thing that Tshuvas HaRambam added over everything else that the Rambam said? Was the comparison. The Rambam in the Tshuva says, what's blowing the shofar? It's like building your sukkah. Building your sukkah is a hechsher mitzvah. There's no mitzvah d'oraisa to build the sukkah. The mitzvah d'oraisa is to be in the sukkah. Exactly. That's exactly what the Rambam was saying. That's my point. I'm saying is that it's in order to say what either the Shagas Aryeh or Soloveitchik said in the Rishonim, you have to read a lot in. Okay, but maybe you could maybe. But it's really almost impossible though to square this with what the Rambam says in the Tshuva. Because there, not only does the Rambam say that the mitzvah is Shmiyah, which he says three or four other places, but he adds as a proof a derech analogy, again, another tool for your lamdash toolbox. You can, whenever a Rishon or an Achron gives a comparison, simleif, pay attention to that. Because very often, it's not just a throwaway, but, you know, if I give you some broad, like, sports analogy or something, right, that's just to help. No, sometimes there's like a real deep insight in the analogy. So either by the mushal or the nimshal, but it can be very telling. So here, the Rambam says, oh yeah, what's a tekiah? It's just like building a shofar. I mean, that is a very extreme way of downgrading blowing the shofar. Because building the sukkah 3 weeks or whatever before sukkahs is nothing. At most, it's a hechsher mitzvah. It's not the mitzvah. The mitzvah is on sukkahs. So how do you to then go from there to Rav Soloveitchik or Rav Chaim saying no, it's tudinim or that's the Maisa mitzvah? Then the comparison to sukkah totally falls apart. So I leave you a little bit with Rachiyun. Either you assume that it's all tkiyah or all shmiya, and you have to kvetch a little bit in some of the difficult gemaras, or you say no, they're both true, which helps you with all the gemaras, but then you got to kvetch a little bit in the Rishonim. So that's, again, sometimes this is just what it is. Right? You have a lot of evidence. It's a big sugya. first glance, it comes out very neat and nice, but the more you look at it, the more complicated it is. And again, to summarize, again, I think whichever way you go, however you fall on this, you're going to have some parts that really work out well, and some parts you got to kvetch. You got to pick your poison. Either you work with the Gemaras really well, and you kvetch in the Rishonim, or you work with the Rishonim really well, and you got to kvetch in the Gemaras. But I don't know of any way to have your cake and eat it too. Just, I don't know if you guys know Rabbi K, the guy who does Night Seder.
Yeah.
So he sits right behind me. So he didn't even know, I don't think he knew I was giving this year. But yesterday in afternoon Seder, he asked me, like, according to the people who hold, we didn't even do all the Makaros, by the way. I know that we left out some things, like, what about if a Cherishot of a cotton blows, or what the whole issue of Kavana was. So as you saw when you prepared, like, those are good questions on the Shita that holds it's Shmia. If it's Shmia, so why do I care who blew? Or if there's Kavana or not. So he asked today, is it really a good answer for the Kavana thing? In other words, like, it's difficult. It's really difficult. So you can give an answer, but then you're kvetching in the Gemara. Or you could accept the Gemaras and say, well, the Gemaras really are contradictory. They're both true. That helps. That's easy with the Gemaras then. But then how do you work into the Lashon of the Rambam? How do you look into Rabbeinu Tam? So you're going to have one easy, I think, straight path and one kvetch. Right? The first way we understood the sugya was easy in the Gemaras, but then we got to kvetch some difficult answers and some easy in the Rishonim. We took what the Rishonim said straightforward, but then we were forced to give some answers, some better and some more kvetchy in the Gemaras. The alternative, which is from at the end of this year, which is no, take the Gemaras beautifully, elegantly, all perfect. They're all Gemaras are true. We don't have to kvetch anything in the Gemaras. They're all true. Beautiful. But then some of the language of the Rishonim becomes a little bit forced. So if someone could come up with a way to make it all good, I'd be very much in your debt. But that's where I'm holding right now. Yisha koach, everyone. I want to wish everyone, I will see